Sharon, yesterday you did a birdathon. Can you tell me what that is?
A birdathon, you might be able to guess, is similar to the word telethon. It is a fundraising event where typically birders go out from like 6 o'clock in the morning until as long as they can last throughout the evening, and they look for birds in order to raise money for their bird organization.
And what's your bird organization?
My bird organization happens to be the National Audubon Society. I actually work in the communications office of two state offices of the National Audubon Society, which are New York and Connecticut. There are many, many Audubon societies all around. There are chapters, there are state offices, there are other places named Audubon that have nothing to do with us because the name is not copyrighted. There's a big world of Audubon out there.
What does the Audubon Society do?
The National Audubon Society exists to protect birds and the places they need throughout the Americas. We really focus on science, on gathering data, advocacy, and obviously on communicating about what we learn to the general public and getting people involved with birdwatching.
So what goals did you have for your birdathon?
Typically, when we go out, we try to raise funds for our general work. Some people, they say, okay, I'm going to spot 100 birds today. You know, can you promise to donate $5 for every bird that I see? Birdathon looks very similar to other events that we do throughout the year that are not fundraising events, where we go out and we do bird watch in order to collect information about what birds are in what area. And then we learn important things about birds from that data.
So what did you see yesterday and how did it go?
Oh, I mean, birdathon is always completely crazy. You know, think about it like running a marathon. So we woke up at 5 a.m. and we were out at Black Creek Marsh, which is a wetlands area, by 6 a.m. And by 7 a.m. we had already logged 50 species either heard or seen by our group. And then we just travel around. I would say we'll drive anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes to get to a good birding location for the day. And we try to mix it up to get different types of habitat. So we started in a wetlands area, and then we moved into a forested area up at Thatcher Park. And that was more wooded and forested. And then we went to an island area on the Hudson River. And then we went north where there are grasslands and you can see different birds in every type of habitat.
How many birds did you see?
We hit 112 species, which is probably our third best yet.
And were you surprised by any of the birds that you saw?
Oh, I mean, there's always at least 5 surprises, I'd say. This time around, in the forested area, saw a hooded warbler and a worm-eating warbler, which both of those birds, and the hooded warbler especially, up here, it's like the northernmost part of its range. It's very atypical to see that kind of bird up here. But one of my colleagues actually saw it again this morning, so that means that it likes where it's at, and it's sticking around, eating bugs, and maybe nesting.
Wow, what does that actually mean? Does that say anything about climate change or
yes.
environment or what?
Well, I mean, you know, it definitely signals something important about the environment and about climate change. Whether or not it's a pattern, we don't yet know for sure. But typically, if you see birds repeatedly over and over at the northernmost part of their range, then that's an indicator that something has changed about the habitat that they depend on for breeding and for migration. Seeing a bird in a place where it's not normally at just one time doesn't necessarily tell you anything, but it's about gathering that repeat data. So if we go out every year and we see a hooded warbler in a place where we don't usually see it, that means that something is different about the places that it depends on. So it could be that development has changed its habitat in a more southern area, or it could mean that due to climate change, there are better conditions farther north for it to get food and to nest and raise chicks successfully.
I noticed on the list of birds that you saw yesterday that you saw an oven bird. And to me, that's like a roast chicken. So what is an oven bird?
I know a lot of these birds have really funny names. Like there's, you know, the gray catbird. And that bird is named because of the noise it makes that actually sounds like a cat kind of like screeching, you know, it goes meow. And
you know, I'm gonna make you do all of the bird sounds now.
And the oven bird, a lot of people think that it sounds like it's saying pizza, 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 pizza. So, you know, some birds are named after the people who discovered them. Some birds are named after what they sound like when they're singing or calling.
And what about a green heron? You mean, I know about blue herons, but mm-hmm. I've never heard of a green heron.
Well, right, so there you go. Birds named after the way they look, right? So a green heron just has green coloring. And they're pretty distinctive. You know, when you see a blue heron, when you see a great blue heron, you see this big bird in the water with long legs, and it's this gray-blue color. And then you see a green heron, which looks like somebody's, you know, 96-year-old grandpa, kind of like hunched over and crotchety. And that one's green and has these like shorter but yellowy legs. You'll usually find both of those in, you know, like your local pond or lake, these wet areas where they can fish.
I saw that you saw some eastern screech owls and barred owls. I thought you could only see those guys at night.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really lucky and you happen upon one of their trees that they're nesting in, they might sometimes, and this is what happened to us yesterday, just have their head, like, sticking out of the little nest hole watching what's going on. They definitely are calling at night, you know, usually like just especially as the sun is setting into darkness. But if your eyes are trained, you can spot them.
Black-eyed juncos are the most common birds that we see in our yard, but most of the time we see them in the winter. Are they a migrating bird?
I am not a scientist, so you caught me there. I don't believe that juncos are migratory, although certainly there are like smaller shifts where birds might travel a little bit during the colder months to find food sources. But yeah, a lot of people are surprised by how many birds are around here that are not migratory. Like even I just found out that robins are not migratory. I thought they just appeared in the spring.
Where do they go in the winter?
They're around, I guess. They just, they're not as active and obvious.
How has the COVID-19 pandemic affected your work? Did you have to skip Birdathon last year?
So obviously Birdathon is outdoors, which is very lucky. We got to do Birdathon last year, but it's actually been a full year since we saw each other all together. And you know, what's interesting is because birding is an activity that takes place outdoors, during COVID, we saw a tremendous uptick in the number of people who expressed interest in birds and in learning about the outdoors. We have nature centers across the two states where I work, and everyone experienced an increase in foot traffic on their outdoor trails. We saw more downloads of our birding app than ever before. It's really been a silver lining.
How can our listeners learn more about the Audubon Society, about your work, and about how they can see birds in their own neighborhood?
As far as connecting with the Audubon Society, depending on where you live, there's probably a state office or a nature center near you. For those in New York, you can visit ny.audubon.org, and we're also on all the social media accounts as Audubon New York. Same with Connecticut, same with Vermont, same with other offices throughout the Northeast. And, you know, then obviously folks can follow the National Audubon Society. And I would definitely suggest downloading a birding app if you are new to birding, because then when you're out in the field, you can see a bird and quickly pull up your app and search by the color and the size and the habitat that you're in. And that's, you know, how people grow as birders.
Well, thanks for talking to me about Birdathon and your birding activities.
Thank you for having me, and I hope everyone can get outside real soon for migration.